Now, our subject today is God defeated? Is God defeated? Is God disappointed? Is God frustrated? Paul wrote in Romans 3, verse 3, listen to the Word of God. For what if some did not believe? They did not believe God, did not believe His Word, did not believe His promises, did not believe His Son. Shall their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Will that destroy the faithfulness of God to His Word, to His covenant, to His Son, because people don't receive it and don't believe it? Or what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make void the purpose of God, cancel it out? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief defeat the will of God and the purpose of God and the covenant of God? Is God defeated? You know, I read in the Scriptures, when I read the Word of God, I read that the living God, the God of heaven and earth, is almighty. Is that what you conclude from the Scriptures that you read? God is almighty. God is sovereign. As David said, our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased, whatsoever the Lord pleased. That did He in heaven, earth, in the seas, and all deep places. In Genesis 18, when God announced to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would have a son, and Sarah, the Scripture says, laughed inwardly, God Himself asked this question. God Himself, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then in Exodus 33, in reply to this request, Moses asked God, show me your glory. God, show me your glory. And in reply to that request, God said, all right, Moses, I will cause all my glory, my goodness, to pass before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful and show mercy to whom I will show mercy. That's my glory, the sovereignty of my mercy, the sovereignty of my grace. That's my glory. And then in Isaiah, if you read Isaiah 45, Isaiah 46, this passage is taken from Isaiah 46. But you read Isaiah 45, the whole chapter in chapter 46, it tells us the same thing. God is almighty. He said this, I'm God. There's none else. I am God. There's none beside me. I declare the end from the beginning. Do you know what he's saying? The end of all things is already purposed and already declared from the beginning. What's going to happen in the end has been decided from the beginning. I declare it, God says, because He foreordains it. He said, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, way back yonder in the eons of eternity. God said, I have from ancient times the things that are not yet done, I have declared them. And I say that my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I have spoken it, God said, and I'll bring it to pass. Does that sound like God can be defeated? Does it sound like God can be disappointed or frustrated or turned away from His purpose or sidetracked? He said, I'll do all my pleasure. I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I'll do it. In Daniel 4, listen to this. All the inhabitants of this earth are reputed as nothing. And God doeth according to His will. His will. And we're hearing a lot today about man's will and free will and your will and my will and all these things. But the Scripture says that He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay His hand. None can stay His hand. None can stop Him. None can say unto Him, what are you doing? What doest thou? He said, can I not do with my own what I will? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make of the same lump a vessel unto honor, and a vessel unto dishonor? That's what God said to Jeremiah. He said, you come down to the potter's house, I'll teach you something. And he took Jeremiah down to the potter's house and he said, watch that potter work. I'm the potter, you're the clay. And I'll do with my own what I will. He worketh in Ephesians chapter 1. The scripture says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It says that twice. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. And Pontius Pilate, when our Lord stood before him in anger because Christ didn't answer him or show him the respect he thought he deserved and ought to have, why, he said, answerest thou not me, knowing that I have the power to crucify you or let you go? And our Lord replied, you could have no power over me at all, except it were given you from above. You see, even the death of Christ was ordained of the Father. He died the appointed Savior for the appointed people at the appointed hour, the appointed death. And all things that took place at that cross, even the things they said and the things they did, were prophesied hundreds of years before Christ died. They carried out by their wicked hands and minds and hearts the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's what I read in the Bible. God is almighty, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign in all things. He's never defeated, cannot be defeated. Is anything too hard for God? He declares the end from the beginning. But when I hear today's preachers, I hear a different God preached. I hear a note sounded that presents an impotent God. A God who wills to do certain things and can't do it. A God who wants to do all these great, wonderful things and men won't let him. Just won't let him. That's what they say. God has a wonderful plan for your life and you won't let him work it out. God wants to do these things and wills to do these things and desires to do these things and sets out to do these things, but he's not able. Men don't believe. They won't let him have his way. Isn't that strange? I heard a preacher not long ago on television defining election. Election mentioned in the Bible so many, many times. But this is the way he defined election. He said, well, it's this way. God votes for you and the devil votes against you. And you cast a deciding vote. That makes God a minority. That makes God outnumbered 2-1. Is that the God of the Bible? He just has one vote in this thing. And Satan has an equal vote. And poor, depraved, wretched, dead, depraved sinners have an equal vote with God Almighty. And his purpose rides on whether or not you cast your vote with him or the devil. And God stands around and waits to see what you'll do in order to affect his purpose. That's not the God of the Bible. They say, give God a chance. Almighty God operates on chances? Let go and let God have his way. You mean God waits for you to let him do something? What kind of God is this? It's an impotent God. No wonder there's no fear of God before their eyes. They've never heard the true God of the Bible preached. I hear preachers say this, and I read this on bulletin boards. God has no hands but your hands. Then how did he make the universe? Oh, God has no feet but your feet. Then how does he walk about the universe and about heaven and command the lightning to go and the lightning to come and the rains to fall and the snows to cover the earth? How does God keep all this in its right perspective? How does he come in mercy and grace to visit sinners if he has no feet but yours and mine? I hear men say, God needs you. God needs your tithe. God needs your talent. God needs your time. He does. What did he do before I came along? And I ask this, then why did he say in his word, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you? And he said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are his, and the gold and silver that hasn't even been mined is his. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. God doesn't need me. Sounds like I need him. Other people say this. I hear this preached. Salvation's up to you. But the Bible says salvation's of the Lord. The Bible says the salvation of the righteous is of God and of Him only. One of the disciples asked Him one day, "Who then can be saved?" And He said, "With men it's impossible." And then some preacher comes along and tells me it's up to me. And here my Lord saying it's impossible with men. But that which is impossible with men is possible with God. Other people say this. I hear them say this all the time. It's up to your free will. You're saved by your free will. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. It's all up to you, they say. It's up to your will. You can say, "I will" or "I won't." Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're born of God. We're born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. We're born of God. That's what this book says. There's a great contradiction here. The Bible has an almighty God, and preachers today have an impotent God. The Bible has a God who declares the end from the beginning. And the preachers of today have a God that doesn't know what's going to happen. The Bible presents a God that's able to save. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And preachers today have a God that sits back and waits to see what the creature will do. There's a contradiction here. A horrible contradiction between today's pulpit and God's timeless scriptures. And I'm amazed that the people in the pews don't rise up and question this lack of agreement between the God that's preached and the God that's presented in the Word of God. I'm amazed. I'm presenting my question. The great discrepancy. Totally out of agreement. What's being said is totally, completely out of agreement with what has been written. The so-called worship of the Lord today. Do you ever listen to it, watch it? Do you ever take part in it? The so-called worship of the Lord. Now, this is God that they say they're worshiping. And it's characterized by what? Hand clapping, arm waving, entertainment, drums, boasting, money raising, contest, begging, luxurious cathedrals and temples and churches, and pride of accomplishment. That's what today's worship consists of and is characterized by. Is that not true? Watch it. But the Scripture says, here's what the Bible says. Listen, God is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Listen to the Word of God. The Lord is in the heavens. You're upon the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Be not hasty to utter anything before God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wise man said, "Come, children, let me teach you respect and reverence and fear of the Lord. Holy and reverend is His name." Oh, I tell you, when Isaiah saw the Lord, the Scripture says he cried, "Oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Daniel said, "When I saw the Lord, my comeliness melted into corruption." Job said, "O Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself. I put my hand on my mouth. I've spoken once, twice, things too wonderful for me. I'll never speak again." John said, "I heard His voice. I heard the voice of Almighty God. I heard the voice of the risen, glorified Redeemer. And I turned to see who spoke to me. And I fell at His feet as a dead man." He didn't jump up and wave his arms and bounce around. "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a humble, contrite spirit. The psalmist said, "Come, let us bow down." Not stand up and be counted, bow down. Not dance around the room. Come, let us bow down and worship. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. For the Lord our God is a terrible God. Brother Mahan, you're in a minority. You're a throwback to modern religion. This is not what people believe about God. This is not what preachers today believe about God. I know that. You think I don't know that? But I'll tell you this. This is what the Bible says about God. The Bible says God is almighty, and it means just what it says. God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. Almighty God will work all things after the counsel of His own will. What He decreed to do, He will do. He declares from the end, from the beginning. Let me show you something. Let's see what the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, has to say about this very thing. Turn to John chapter 6. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6. And here our Lord is speaking to, just like I am this morning, speaking to religious people. Everybody's got religion. Just about everybody belongs to somebody's church or made a decision or joined the church or been baptized or there's something. And our Lord was speaking to all these religious Jews and Israelites and all these people in John chapter 6. And in verse 36, listen to what He said. I said unto you, you have seen Me. You have seen Me, and you believe not. You have seen Me as I am, who I am, what I am, and you don't believe Me. All right, I say this about our day. We've seen God. We've seen God in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. O God, when I consider the sun, the moon, the stars, the things which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? You've seen the God of the universe. You've seen God in creation. Yes, you have. He's known by the things that are made. And all things were made by Him in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And all things are sustained by Him and contained by Him, and in Him they live and move and have their being. That takes a powerful, powerful God. Every little star is on a charted course. Every atom in the universe is where it is because God watches over it to keep it from blowing this thing up. You've seen God in His law. He's holy. Holy and reverent is His name. Christ said, you've seen Me. You've seen Me. You've seen God in His law. He's holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You've seen God in the Old Testament pictures and types and shadows. Adam, he met with God. He sinned and God cast him out. Noah, know anything about Noah? Who found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Was that all decreed and purposed and carried out according to His announcement? He said man's days would be 120 years. There'll be 8 souls saved, so as by water. You're familiar with Abraham. God called him out of his father's house, and he's 75 years old. Told him, come out. Go to the land I'll show you. I'll give you a son. Give you a son. Did he do it? You know about Moses, tried to deliver Israel while he was in Egypt. He was a 40-year-old man in the prime of life with all the Egyptian throne behind him and his wealth behind him and his influence behind him, and God resisted his efforts and sent him out to the desert for 40 years till he became an 80-year-old man, and then brought him back into Egypt with a shepherd's cloak and a shepherd's staff and used him to deliver a nation. You know anything about Israel? God chose them. David, you've seen God. He's there. You've seen God in the flesh. Jesus Christ came to this earth. You've seen and heard what He had to say. And what's the result? Christ said, you've seen Me. You've seen Me. Men are without excuse. God may be known by the things that are made. God may be known by the conscience He gives. God may be known by the very practical understanding that if God is God, He's God. And somebody's in charge. That this thing is not just left to run itself. Now, you've seen Me, He said, and what's the result? He said, you believe not. I'm come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You've seen Me, and you believe not. You will not come to me that you might have life. Isaiah said he's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. You've seen me, and you don't believe. Well, then God's defeated. God's defeated. Is that the conclusion? God's disappointed. It's not going to be like he wants it to be. Oh, yes, it will. Listen to the next verse. However, Christ said in John 6:36, you've seen me and you haven't believed, but all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. What did he say? He speaks as no other man ever spake. He speaks with authority, because he has all authority in heaven and earth. All power over all flesh, he said, is given to me. And he said, all that my Father giveth me. Before the world began, the Father gave to the Son a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, a numberless number, an innumerable company. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. I'm bound to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was given a people from the foundation of the world. You can't deny that. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he predestinated, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. Not one of them is lost. Ooh, that's the power of God. That's the sovereignty of our Lord. Sovereign in creation, providence, and salvation. That's the God of the Bible. Is that the God you hear and preach? Or the whiny, defeated, disappointed, frustrated God who's up there in heaven wringing his hands because folks won't let him have his way? And then our Lord continued, verse 38, listen. He said, you've seen me, you've heard me, and you hadn't believed me. But some will. He said, all that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. And him that cometh, I'll under no circumstances in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my will, nor your will, nor any man's will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. We talked about that a while ago, the will of God. I came to do. Christ Jesus came into the world to do the will of God. He said, I came to do the will of him that sent me. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Christ came to do thy will. Lo, I come, he said in Hebrews 10, to do thy will, O God, by the which will we are sanctified, by the which will we are saved, by the which will we are redeemed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Salvation by whose will? Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I came down from heaven not to do my will or your will, but the will of him that sent me, and by the which will we are sanctified. And when he prayed in John 17, he said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. Now glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, what is the will of God? What is this will that Christ came to do? What is this will by which we're saved? What is this will of God that he finished? Look at verse 39. He said, you see me, but you don't believe me. But all that he gave me will believe me, because I came down to do his will. And this, verse 39, and this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, all which he gave me, entrusted in my care, over which he made me the surety, all which he gave me, I should lose nothing, not a one, but raise it up again at the last day. Oh, my soul, the will of God shall be done. Thy will be done. Our Lord taught us to pray. He will. He will save His people. He gave Christ to people. He calls them His sheep, His brethren, His elect, His people, His jewels. Christ died for those people, and He says, I'll lose none of them. I'll lose none of them. But on that last day when the trump shall sound and the voice of the archangel cries forth, I'll raise him from the dead. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. Is God defeated? Doesn't sound like it, does it? Is God disappointed? Doesn't sound like it. Is he frustrated? Is he powerless? Doesn't sound like it when I read. I only hear that when I hear preachers. When I read the Bible, I don't get that message. And he said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. Yes, the Father gave him a people, and their redemption's complete in Christ, but they shall hear the gospel, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. They'll come. My sheep will hear my voice, and they'll follow me. Now watch him as he closes. And they began to murmur. When he preached that, they murmured. They said, why, here, this man's the son of Joseph. We know his mother and father. He said he came down from heaven. How can he be from heaven? And he replied, murmur not among yourselves. I said unto you, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And they shall all be taught of God. And he that hath heard of the Father and learned, he comes to me. Is God defeated? No, sir. You want this message? It's on tape along with another message. Send $2 and I'll mail it to you. Here's the address as we go off there. Until next week, God bless you.